Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Fiction. Science fiction. Horror. Fantasy. Crime. LGBT. Thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Heard on KCB 106.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 105.0 AM Palm Springs.
Good evening, and I'm delighted to say that we have Mark Anthony on the show this evening. And I've had the real pleasure of interviewing Mark before, and subsequent to that, you have been majorly busy. Welcome, Mark, to the show.
Thank you, Julie. It's really great to be here.
So last time I spoke to you, we were talking about, you know, obviously about your ability, how that's developed, what you bring to the table, the conflict between being known as, and because you are actually an accredited, you are a qualified attorney in the US, and the conflict between being psychic and being in a profession, which is all evidence-based. And how difficult that can be, and we shared some of that conflict and the information between us in both our professions. But subsequently to our last conversation, your book, The Evidence of Eternity, has been submitted, has it not, for a Pulitzer Prize? Tell me
yes,
about that.
Yes, it has. It was such a, talk about a wonderful surprise. I received a notification from Columbia University in New York City that Evidence of Eternity has been submitted for a Pulitzer. And, I'll hear more about if it made the nomination shortlist in 2016, but it's just such an honor to be in that class.
Absolutely, and to be recognized, you know, internationally, really, on something that is so meaningful to yourself. It's something that is, from all of your experiences, you bring to the table to put your heart and soul into this book, and to guide and educate other people. And then for that to be so well recognized, well done. So whether or not you make the shortlist, you're nominated, and that's amazing.
Well, yeah, it is very humbling. It's very humbling because I when I write a book, I don't just pop out books. It takes me a while to write it because I spend years doing the research and compiling the stories, and I want to make sure that it's something that the reader is going to enjoy on several levels. And the way I look at it, Julie, as I'm writing and telling the story, if I can't feel it, if I can't be moved by it emotionally, spiritually, or intellectually, then how can I expect my reader to have that type of reaction as well?
Definitely. So for some of our listeners won't have listened to the previous show, so they won't know maybe of you as well as others and your book. So tell us a little bit about your book and how it came to be, and what led you to writing it, and how it felt to finish the book, to get to the last page?
Evidence of Eternity is the research that I've been compiling for several years. And it is explaining how spirit communication is a reality based on science, theoretical physics, human physiology, evidence, and how science and religion and faith are not polar opposites, but rather that they're on the same page. So Evidence of Eternity bridges the gap between the scientific and the spiritual. And it's also introducing new terms and concepts to bring our understanding of spirit communication out of the Victorian era. And the reason that I say that Julie, is first off, Britain gets a huge, huge amount of credit for our understanding of spirit communication, because for the last almost century and a half in the UK, the British have been studying spirit communication as a science. And then it caught on in the United States, and it's catching on in other parts of the world. The problem is there was this tremendous upsurge of interest between 1850 and, let's say, about 1920, and that sort of stagnated. And so the terminology and our understanding of it is all explained in arcane and Victorian terms. So what I'm doing is I'm redefining spirit communication based on our advanced understanding of quantum physics, frequency, energy transfer, and telecommunications. So I am explaining things in terms of the internet age as opposed to the Victorian era.
So bringing, helping people to understand it in today's language.
Absolutely. And there's also new concepts and terms that I'm introducing, one of which, for example, is multiple meaning messages. And what that means, Julie, is during spirit communication, I may see, or any medium, will get a vision or hear something or a piece of information is presented. And when you start analyzing it, it has more than one level of significance. And I started seeing that this was happening, not only to me, but to other mediums that I observed. And I started studying frequency, and all of a sudden it clicked, and I says, oh my gosh. It's like when the military sends a transmission from, you know, base A to camp B, and it may say, like, okay, here's today's general orders. But then piggybacked on top of that transmission are five or six other encrypted messages all within that same frequency band. And I started seeing that spirits do the same thing. They're not trying to encrypt it. It's simply the nature of spirit communication. And to simplify it, you and I right now are communicating using auditory frequency, and we're sending one concept back and forth to each other. Yeah. A spirit is not limited by a finite body, so they can hit me with 10 or 12 or 20 concepts at once, and that's simply the nature of a waves of frequency being emitted from one spiritual entity to somebody here in the material world.
So as a medium or a psychic, how do we make sense of all of those frequencies coming in?
It takes a lot of observation, a lot of practice. In fact, today I had a reading where something came in, and it had candy apples. And I know candy apples sound funny, but I said, I'm seeing candy apples, and it was the client. It was her father's spirit who's communicating. She said. And I said, normally when I see candy apples, to me that means the month of September, because as a medium, you have to realize that there are certain symbols that you're going to see over and over, and they have certain levels of significance, but you can't limit it to that. And the client said, well, yeah, my father died in September. But she said, but that also makes a lot of sense, because when I was pregnant, I kept craving candy apples. And she said, and I just bought a car that's candy apple red. It's like, okay. So her father was saying, okay, yes, I died in September. I know that you were craving candy apples when you were pregnant with my grandchild. And I know that you just bought a Corvette that is candy apple red in color. So I started seeing that because spirits are not limited to our three-dimensional world, they're capable of transmitting a lot more information. And so that's why during reading, people need to realize that everything that comes through may not immediately make sense, and the things that do, it may have each message may have several facets and levels of significance to it.
Yeah. And I mean, I experience that, and I fully understand and believe in that. And I think sometimes we're kind of damned if we do and we're damned if we don't, because actually, if somebody can make more sense of one phrase like candy apples, people will say, well, that's kind of vague, because it's, you're just kind of hitting all different subjects. So you've got the car in there, you've got the month in there, you've got the passing in there, as opposed to being very specific. So people may argue that that feels more vague in terms of readings. Whereas, as you've, you know, rightly said, spirit will get as much information over as they can to evidence their existence without, you know, lengthy sentences, because that's not how they communicate with us. They, you know, those symbols are very poignant.
And that's correct. And of course, Julie, as you correctly pointed out, there's always going to be the skeptics who want to tear apart everything. And actually, a true skeptic is open-minded and wants to hear information. It's the cynics that just want to shoot everything. Oh, that's a vague, you know. Well, the fact of the matter is, I don't pull random, you know, desserts and treats out of thin air to throw at people, okay, if it's presented to me. And until you experience it on a level like you or I do, or somebody who is receiving a reading from us, it's really hard to completely understand the full impact of what's happening. I mean, I was in Arizona recently on a book signing tour and a speaking tour. I was doing a gallery reading in Tucson, Arizona at the Unity Church. And this woman stood up and her son came through. And apparently he had taken his own life, and I explained how I was feeling this. And all of a sudden I said, Eiffel Tower? Okay, we're in Arizona. Okay, they don't normally talk about the Eiffel Tower in Paris. And she goes, oh, my God. She says, my son and I, we went on this trip to France, and we were in the Eiffel Tower, and I got in a big fight with this lady. She goes, it was so out of character for me. Okay, so that reference to the Eiffel Tower was her son transmitting to me a shared memory that immediately made sense with her. Now, skeptics could say, oh, he's just throwing at Eiffel Tower. Well, why didn't I say Statue of Liberty or London Bridge? That's because he didn't give me those, and she didn't have an association with those other things. And so what a skilled and experienced medium has to do is make sure that you don't immediately jump to conclusions and make assumptions. But that you present the evidence, and then, you know, it's up to the client what they do with that.
Yeah, definitely. I always say to people before, when I go on stage, I always make a great point of saying, do not make leaps of faith just because you want a reading. You know, don't think if I say I'm getting this name and it's like, for example, David, do not jump to, oh, yeah, it must be Dean. Dean, yeah, that's it, that's the one, because people are so needing that information, they're ready to kind of make these huge jumps, and it's misreading the information that you're giving. And likewise, when you're giving a reading and you're getting that information, it's very important that we don't, and I use this term to make it as simple to understand as possible, to humanize it. Because we try and make sense of it. And if we try and make sense of it and then put that information out there, chances are it's completely wrong. Because we've put our own spin on it. We've put our own thoughts and beliefs and values, etc. Trying to make sense of something. We just have to give what we get.
Yeah, that's exactly true. You know, you got to be very careful about jumping to conclusions and making assumptions and letting your mind fill in the blanks. And one of the best examples, I was on a television show here in the States, and it was a local cable show in Long Island. And the host of the show was a medium, and she's really just a wonderful person, but very, very eager, very, very eager. And so when I was doing readings on audience members, there was this one woman I was drawn to, and I started describing an older male coming through, and I saw a badge. And I said, a uniform. And she said, well, my father, he died of a heart attack. No, she didn't say how he died, because I didn't get that. I said, I'm seeing a badge and a uniform. And she said, yes, my father was a police officer. And I said, and I hear the word shots. Mm. And before I could say anything else, the medium who was the host of the show jumped up. She goes, I heard shots too. He was shot in the line of duty. And before I could say anything else, the client and the woman in the audience said, well, no, he was at a bar doing shots of tequila with his friends and he got a stroke and died. And, you know, funny, but not funny for the medium. And after the show, we were talking, and she said, wow, I really jumped to conclusions there. And I said, that's why you have to be careful, because he was a police officer, and we heard shots. It's very easy to let your mind fill in the blanks and jump to the conclusion that he must have been shot to death in the line of duty instead of doing, you know, shots tequila with his friends, which triggered a stroke.
It's funny how the human brain works, isn't it? When we read, we put in words. We don't need all the words that we've got on the page, because our brain will fill the words in. When we mix up letters, we can still work out what the word is meant to be and read a whole paragraph of what would be gobbledygook to somebody learning the language. And likewise, when we are receiving information from spirit, we do the same thing, where we have to be so mindful of it.
Exactly.
So, Mark, since I last spoke to you, I mean, I've had the fortune of speaking to you and knowing a little bit about you and how you came to be in the field that you're in. But for the sake of the listeners, how did you develop your gift? And at what point did you think, actually, the lawyer bit has to take a backward step now, because this is my calling, this is what I need to be doing, and then you kind of mapped out your future and following that different pathway?
That's a really good question, Julian. I'm glad that you asked that. For the people who know me, they know that I'm a fourth generation psychic medium. And that, in other words, this runs in my family. So if the people don't, now you know that. And both my mother and my father have mediumistic abilities. My mother has since gone to the other side. My dad, he's still here. And I've always had it. I mean, when I was 4 years old, I started communicating with spirits. And my parents were very, very decent about it, by not chastising me and explaining that this is something that not everybody does. And, you know, I remember my dad saying, please just talk about it to me, Mark. Don't talk about it outside the house, because people won't understand. So yeah. That was kind of our code, if you will. And then when I was practicing law, the attorneys that I worked with are always like, you always seem like you kind of have this sense of things in the courtroom that other people don't see. Yeah. And I never really thought anything about it, because, you know, I live with me, so I don't think it's weird or different or unusual. But as I got older, my psychic and mediumistic abilities started intensifying to the point where I was seeing spirits constantly and picking up on spirits around people. So it was one of those situations where that old expression, when one door closes and another opens, the door didn't open. It got ripped off the hinges, and they kicked me in the butt right down the road. and I didn't have a choice on this, and it became a calling. And it's funny, because friends of mine who are in the clergy talk about having a calling, and I never really thought about having a calling, and now I know what they mean. And so I still work as a legal analyst in high-profile murder cases, and I'm the go-to guy in radio and TV interviews where there are cases that have paranormal implications, such as like people using the demonic possession defense in murder, or folks trying to sue to get out of a contract for sale of a house because it's haunted, or ghost hunter liability, or things like the Slender Man stabbings, and we could go on and on and on with those. So I'm the go-to guy in the media world for that area. So I still keep abreast of legal developments, because, you know, that's also one of my great loves. But I realized that it was time to use my ability as a medium to help people cope with death.
And that's where you really kind of come into your own, Mark, isn't it? Because that's your area of expertise, helping people to manage and deal with grief. So at what point did you realize that was kind of your specialism?
It was actually right after my mother died, I started going to grief counseling at a local church, a local Catholic church, because I was raised Catholic. And people, you know, say to me, "Well, why do you need grief counseling? You're a medium." It's like, what people need to understand is just because I'm a medium doesn't mean I'm immune to pain and suffering when someone I love dies. But I did notice that I seemed to be recovering, if you will, or progressing rather faster than other people in the group. And then when I would go to these grief counseling groups, I started telling people, "Oh, well, your mother would like you to know this, and your father would like you to know that, and if your son were here, he'd want you." And people would be looking at me like, "How do you know this?" And the facilitator of the group, and she was from Ireland, and she was really sweet. She goes, "Mother, you can't be doing this. You can't be seeing spirits." And I said, "But, you know, we're in a Catholic church. Isn't that what we're supposed to do?" And she said, "Well, you know what I mean." So I decided to stop going, and then about a month later, this elderly woman who was in the group, and I remember she was well into her 80s, and her husband of 60-some-odd years had died, and she came up to me in the grocery store, and she says, "Hello, Mark," and I said, "Hey, how you doing?" And she took me by the hand, and she said, "You made us feel better. Would you come back to the grief group?"
Wow.
And it was very touching, and it was at that time I realized that I needed to help people but not be confined by a church or an organization or a religion or whatever telling me you can't say this, can't do this, can't think that, can't believe this. And that's why I wrote my first book, Never Letting Go. And it was during the Never Letting Go book tour when people were asking me very profound questions about the nature of the other side, how spirit communication works, about reincarnation, animals having souls, issues about suicide and losing a child, and that was the genesis for creating Evidence of Eternity.
And then, I suppose, from there, what happened next?
Then, it was really, you know, really strange and wonderful strange, because it's like being in a boat that you're trying to paddle upstream against the current, and no matter how hard you paddle, you can't do it. And just turning the boat around and going with the stream, which sometimes leads you over, you know, rapids and over waterfalls. But I realized that I just had to go with this, because apparently this was my life plan and the direction I was supposed to go in. And all of a sudden, I started getting invited to be on radio shows and television shows, and I began to speak to groups at afterlife conventions and paranormal conferences. And I realized that everything that had happened to me in my life all led up to this point. And my years of experience as a trial lawyer and my ability to speak to people and to take complex concepts and explain it in everyday language, there was all a reason for all of that. And Julie, it's not that I sit around going, "Oh, this is my plan." We all have a plan, and we all have a reason for being here and a purpose in life. It's just I feel very blessed to, I think, have figured out what mine is.
Wow. I mean, going from, you know, fourth generation medium with all that experience and support and understanding from your parents, which can be absolutely critical, can't it, in terms of our development. And understanding the differences between maybe how what we are experiencing to what somebody who maybe isn't as sensitive is experiencing, to studying, qualifying as a lawyer, and then specializing in those kind of really highly visible cases, very complex cases in the world of law, and then looking at how you then support people going through one of the most, you know, tragic times of our life when we're experiencing grief and going through all of those emotions, and that understanding of what that brings to the table for people, and how that really influences our life path going forward when we've lost somebody so special. That's a huge accomplishment, and to have also then fitted in the time mark in your spare time to put forward two books, Never Letting Go and Evidence of Eternity. We're going to take a short break, and then when we come back, we're going to try to find out a little bit more about Mark as Mark, and find out what Mark does in the spare time. So there's got to be some sort of spare time, Mark, where you just kick back and chill. I'm not sure where you're fitting it in, And then we're going to talk a little bit about Mark's tour and where that's taken him and some of those experiences that he's experienced over the course of that tour. Here with me.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
And I still have Mark Anthony, who is also known as the psychic lawyer or the psychic attorney. And he has two amazing books out, and Never Letting Go and The Evidence of Eternity, one of which, the Evidence of Eternity, has been put forward for a Pulitzer Prize, which is an amazing accomplishment. And from everybody on the show and producer Al, I'm sure, we'll say a very big well done to Mark, because we appreciate that that has been blood, sweat and tears into this book, which has brought together all of Mark's experiences. And it helps us to understand them in a scientific versus kind of spiritual sense, which is really what we need. So, Mark, you've been amazingly busy since we last spoke. You've been doing the Evidence of Eternity tour. So tell me, where have you been? What have been those experiences?
Oh, it's been incredible. I've been all over the U.S. I've been book tours. I've done two tours of California, two tours of Georgia, New York, Arizona, Washington State. I'm getting ready to do my next Texas tour. Colorado, it's just been all over, and then I'm getting a lot of radio and television interviews in all of these locations. And then, of course, in between that, I'm doing readings. Most of the readings I do are by the telephone, because my clientele is worldwide, and because spirits are pure consciousness, and they move at light speed, so they can zip back and forth between me and the client. So I'm doing a lot of readings, and people keep asking, when are you going to write your next book? And it's like, well, I'm always working on something, but right now I'm concentrating on promoting Evidence of Eternity, because it's only been out 7 months, and it's just maintained bestseller status on three different categories in Amazon, and it's been doing very well. And in between that, I try to keep myself in as good a shape as possible and eat right and do all the things you're supposed to do. So I've been pretty busy.
You've kind of just left your home and you're traveling around, which must seem, a little bit of a whirlwind. And for those of us who follow you on Facebook, we see the pictures going up of you in various locations looking happy and relaxed. But I'm sure that is an incredibly tiring tour to do. So that leads me to think about your resilience as a person and who you are as a person, Mark, because you have such a belief in what you do that must be the driving force. You fit so much into your life up to date that something has to keep you going. So who is Mark? Tell me a little bit about Mark. If you had to describe yourself to me in a few sentences, what would you say about yourself?
Well, I love what I do. And the way I look at it is, when you love what you do, you're never really at work. I mean, granted, there's a lot of effort and a lot of energy, and I have long days and it can be very tiring. But I've decided that I need to spend my life doing something I love that helps people. And I've always thrived on helping people. And I like to teach. I like to teach, and I like, I guess, my role in helping people heal. I don't necessarily consider myself a healer, as more of a facilitator. I like to think of myself as an adventurer. To me, there is no country, no adventure, no place that I don't want to learn about and see. And I've been all over the world, but I want to go to more places. And I find traveling and finding out evidence of the afterlife and how different cultures and people view that is simply fascinating. So I guess to describe myself is, to me, one lifetime isn't enough. I just like to absorb information and then have some time to reflect on it and process it.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you the most random question you've been asked for a while. So in terms of finding out a little bit more about the real Mark, as Mark, not Mark Anthony, if I had to give you a choice between the two films, what one would you choose? The new Star Wars or James Bond?
Oh, that's a tough one.
Yeah,
I mean, every Every guy wants secretly, I think every man secretly wants to be James Bond. But the idea of being able to go into outer space and see things beyond this realm, I'm going to have to go with the new Star Wars.
Ah, boo! I was going with Bond. And that, of course, that film's due for release very soon, isn't it? Star Wars, they've just released the trailer, I hear, today.
Yeah, I understand it's a real big deal, and I just love seeing Harrison Ford back in the pilot seat of the Millennium Falcon. So, yeah, I guess I could see myself, you know, in the seat next to him shooting at stuff. But, you know, it's funny because, you know, we have these fantasies where you go off and, you know, you're shooting alien ships, but I certainly wouldn't want to hurt anybody. You know,
yeah.
And I think that that's a big part of the problem in culture today, where we're seeing so many of these episodes of mindless violence by children and young people bringing guns into public places and shooting people. And I'm wondering if all these games and this violence saturation is affecting them on a very, very negative level.
Yeah, definitely. There's a certainly in the field that both you and I work in, we will both see those traits coming through, and children and young people who are or have been exposed to violent games, violent videos from a very young age, normalize it. We know that we become desensitized to things. It's funny, we were talking the other day at work about how we go into families and we can see professionals becoming desensitized to what they see and desensitized to the experiences maybe of families. And yet we will go into the office and somebody will show us a tracking system or a spreadsheet that says these things, these tasks are in the red, they're overdue, and there's like a shock horror element. And how, you know, obviously they are far less important than actually how we work with families and individuals, but we become so desensitized. And it's the same thing, isn't it? You watch young kids cause some horrific crimes on the back of normalizing and becoming desensitized to life and living.
Yeah, I've seen that not only in my work as a medium, but also as an attorney.
Yeah, definitely.
And, the cold and callousness, which is really sad. But, you know, on the other hand, I meet a lot of wonderful people who are kind, compassionate, warm. So I don't take a completely fatalistic view towards humanity. I think that there always is hope. And I like what Professor Stephen Hawking said, wherever there is life, there is hope. And I truly believe that. I truly believe that. And so, you know, it's very easy to think that, oh, my God, we're in this terrible time in history, you know, ISIS and the economy and the horrors going on all over the world. But if you've ever opened up a history book, when has it not been like that? That this has always been going on. It's just now, because of our telecommunications and mass media, we're aware of it. But in the end, I think that the taking the higher road eventually wins out. I mean, what would Gandhi say? There have always been murderers and tyrants, but they always fall in the end, and the way of love wins out. So, you know, I kind of think Gandhi was onto something.
Absolutely. Have you heard of Carl Pilkington?
I'm sorry?
Have you heard of a gentleman? He's a very dry comedian called Carl Pilkington.
No, I haven't.
It's definitely worth grabbing his book and reading it, or having a look at one of his TV shows when you get a chance. He's just a very kind of philosophical guy who questions every little part of life. And there was a wonderful podcast recently of him talking about conflict and war and humanity. And he was saying, well, does it not come a time, do you not think that maybe we just developed too much and we should just stay where we are? We should never have developed planes, etc., because that's how, you know, we've developed to the point where wars are so strategic. There, we just, before, we'd get on a boat and just kind of go somewhere and cause a bit of chaos and come back if we were lucky, he said. And now we've evolved and we're just targeting people now, he said. It's maybe we should never have developed to get to that point. And whilst it was a completely mad view, there was, when you really think about what he's talking about, and how he's talking about how our own development is our worst enemy at times, and you know, really, in terms of his own, people find him funny because he is dry and he just questions everything, and they think he's a little bit stupid maybe, but actually there's a lot of thought provoking comments he makes. And sometimes, you know, we can, our own development, our own, inadequacies really don't help us as a society, and you just don't think things through sometimes. But as you said, there are so much good things out there as well, and so many people who are supporting and trying to make the world a better place. Swings and roundabouts, but wow, some of the comments this guy makes is very, very poignant. So just moving on from that a little bit, I just want to talk now about your future, Mark, and what the future holds for you. So you're going to do the Evidence of Eternity tour. You're going to complete that. You won't know anything more about the prize until next year. But what's up for you in the meantime? What are your plans?
Well, I'm working with some producers in throughout the country, and we've come up with a proposed television show, and I can't really discuss the details of it. So we are shopping a television show right now. So I'm very interested in that because, you know, when you asked, you know, what do I like to do, I've always been interested in film and television production. In fact, at one point during my legal career, I was actually practicing entertainment law, and I had considered for a time leaving the practice of law to go into maybe directing and producing. Mm-hmm. And right now that's what I'm doing, but for a television show project. So I've got that in the works. It looks like the Evidence of Eternity tour will continue into 2016. And I'm going to continue speaking at conferences and expos throughout the country and doing lectures. I will probably start work on a third book toward mid to late 2016. Because right now I'm in the research and the compiling stories phase. So basically there's a lot going on. I've always got a film and video projects going on. There's people talking to me about maybe doing a line of cards, inspirational cards. And, you know, but there's only so much me to go around. So I have to keep focused on the work as a psychic medium and as a public speaker and as an author.
So what do you do in your downtime, Mark?
What's that? downtime? I love to watch movies. I love movies. And I like action adventure. I love period films. I mean, I hate to admit this, but I love Downton Abbey. I think Downton Abbey is so cool. And there's a new one on PBS, BBC, was it called Indian Summers, which takes place in British India, which I'm thoroughly enjoying. And I like things like Boardwalk Empire. I like Homeland. You know, I like a lot of the cable shows and movies. I love to, like recently I took a long weekend and I went to South Beach, Miami, which is an incredible place. If anyone's ever visiting Florida, you really should go to South Beach, Miami, because it's a culture all unto itself with the Art Deco buildings, and I love architecture. So I went on a walking tour, an architectural walking tour. And maybe that sounds boring, but I found it so fascinating. And there was this one building, and I'm looking at it, and I go, I've seen this before. And the tour guide said, oh, well, this was designed by, I forget the guy's name, in 1937. And all of a sudden I realized, oh, my God, it's the Daily Planet from Superman. And Superman DC Comics, Superman came out right around 1937. And I said that to the tour guide, and he looked at it and he goes, oh, my God, it is the Daily Planet. You know, so putting pieces of the puzzle together, and it's like, yeah, the Art Deco movement, if you look at Batman, Gotham City is supposed to be New York. That's all, you know, Art Deco, but sort of the darker Gothic look to it. And then Metropolis is Chicago, okay? And now we're putting it all together. And then South Beach, it's so colorful, and you've got, like, U.S. culture, the Caribbean culture. You've got this really you know, hot popping type of thing, and the food there is incredible. You know, so I like to go on trips like that to places that are out of the ordinary for me. And then, honestly, Julie, there are days I just like to take a walk in a nature sanctuary, and I just find nature so healing and so calming. It was fortunate in my recent tour of Seattle, all the leaves were changing. You know, I live in Florida, you know, so, you know, we do have some a little bit of that, but not very much. But in Seattle, it was breathtakingly beautiful. And then a couple of weeks before that, I was on tour of Arizona, and I went to the Saguaro National Forest, which is those big funky cactuses that you always see in you know, westerns and Clint Eastwood movies. I just love doing stuff like that. You know, so getting out in nature and seeing environments that are new and different for me, absolutely love it.
I think I'm very lucky living in the UK with the seasons that we have, and we, you know, we see the whole, you know, we have the summer and the whole contrast to winter, and as you said, that autumn feeling with the leaves falling and changing the colour, and it's just beautiful.
It really is. It is, and I love the UK. I've been over there a number of times. It is such an amazing country. I love the people in the UK, the most resilient, the most interesting, stoic, and hysterically funny people have got to be in the UK. just great.
When do you think you're back here?
Oh, I would love to do a speaking and gallery reading tour of the UK. You know, I'm talking to a couple of my friends that are mediums that are over there. So who knows? It could be 2016, could be 2017, you know, sooner rather than later. I'd love to be back over there.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, I, you know, absolutely. You know, give me a shout when you're over, and it'd be great to meet up. Hey, Mark, so we've spoken about your books, and I know that I'm sure they benefit particular people. And so who do you think would be the most benefit of your books?
I think that, especially with the holidays coming up, many people are facing their first holiday season without their loved ones. And so Never Letting Go and Evidence of Eternity would be the ideal gift for someone you know that is coping with the loss of a loved one through the holidays.
When we lose people close to those holidays, it's just such a poignant reminder, isn't it? And especially when it's celebratory holidays and people are, you know, enjoying and people, you know, forget, I think, that some people are, for them, it's one of the most traumatic times of the year.
It is. In fact, on my website, evidenceofeternity.com, there is a grief management page, which is a free resource open to everyone, and there are several coping strategies, what to say and not to say to someone dealing with grief. There's an expose on the immortality of the soul and what other religions and throughout the world believe about it. There are affirmations, there are prayers, and so this is a resource that I refer to as grief management that is free and open to everybody on evidenceofeternity.com. And there's also in my blogs, I write about Today Is Not That Day is the name of one of my blogs, and it specifically addresses the firsts, like the first Christmas, the first Hanukkah, the first New Year's, the first birthday of the person, anniversary of their death. So all of these resources are available on my website under the grief management page of evidenceofeternity.com.
Thanks, Mark. And where can people see you next? So you're in this amazing tour. You've been to some fantastic places, but what's coming up for you?
Well, in October 28th and 29th, I'm going to be in Houston. I'll be on Great Day Houston, the CBS TV morning show. And then that night at Body, Mind, and Soul, both the 28th and the 29th, I'll be doing gallery presentations where I'll be doing readings for audience members. And then I'll be in New York City Friday, December 4th, and Saturday, December 5th at the Edgar Cayce Association for Research and Enlightenment, the Edgar Cayce Center of New York City. They're doing a special two-day event. I'll be giving a lecture on rulers, royals, psychics, and spirits, and it's a really fun, uplifting, and it's a free event on Friday, December 4th, and then on Saturday, December 5th, I will be doing a mediumship presentation where I'll be conducting audience members with loved ones' spirit. And then, of course, I'll be doing gallery reading and mediumship demonstrations in Florida. And if people want to find out more about these events and my tour schedule, they can just go to my calendar of events on evidenceofeternity.com. And please feel free, you can do this on my website. Follow me on Facebook. Just click on the Facebook logo, and that'll keep you up to date on everything that I'm doing.
Okay, so just to repeat that website for everybody, it's www.evidenceofeternity.com. And all of Mark's resources, from grief management to his tour guide, so that you're able to join him around the States, either at his lectures or at his mediumship events, they're all listed on there, so you'll know exactly where he's going to be. Again, Mark, thank you so much for joining us.
You're very welcome. God bless.
Shows up. To find out more about our show, guests, or to listen to past shows from our archive, please go to www.houseofmysteryradio.com. Show is over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.